The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Mr. Ryan Clark himself joins us here shortly to debate Stephen A. on his biggest surprises in the NFL this season. Is it Kyler or Joe Burrow or perhaps a mystery team? Plus, Shaq called LeBron the GOAT. Do Perk and Stephen A. agree with that phrase? And Perk with a take on Ben Simmons you will want to hear. Trust me. Keep it locked. So the Western Conference champs travel to Staples to face the Lakers, who are looking to bounce back after their season opener to step in the Warriors. Bron and AD balled, but the Russell Westbrook edition still a work in progress, normally averaging a triple-double, putting up single digits in every statistical category. Kendrick Perkins, can you hear me, sir? There he is. Yes, he can. Perk, I'll start with you. Is this LeBron's most challenging path to a title?
Hell no, Molly. No. Like, and anybody think different is crazy. I'm here to tell you right now.
I'm crazy, damn it.
The biggest challenge.
We know that.
Yeah, we already know that. We already know that. So just from hearing your tone, I know you about to disagree with me, and I knew we couldn't go a whole show without getting into it. So I'm ready to make some hamburgers because I got beef. Listen. When LeBron James went back to Cleveland, okay?
Right.
That was his hardest path. Remember, Dan Gilbert, he called the man a Benedict Arnold when he left to go to South Beach. You know, I was in that locker room, not when he won the title, but I was there the 2 years before then when he had lost to Golden State, when we had lost to Golden State. And do you know how hard it is being in the locker room when a guy, your franchise guy, the face of the league in LeBron James and Dan Gilbert, the owner, don't even speak to one another? It's strictly business. So then you take it to this championship that he won against a 73-9 team, the Golden State Warriors, right? Arguably the best team that was ever assembled. I mean, it was 73-9. Being down 3-1 in the NBA Finals, and LeBron James came and walked that down and won the championship. That was his hardest path and will be his hardest path ever in his career.
Oh, please. That is utterly ridiculous. First of all, let me tell you something right now. I got a new nickname for you. It's affectionate, though, because it's beautiful. I'm just looking at the way you look right now. Santa Perk. That works for me with the beard and the whole bit. I mean, if you put on the Santa Claus outfit, Santa Perk, that's what we gonna go to Santa Perk. That's what we gonna call you from now on, or Uncle Perk. Either way works. But here's the deal. I get where you coming from, bro, because you brought in the emotion and the LeBron James, the Dan Gilbert relationship. You obviously is intimately involved. Now, you know all about that stuff. I get all of that. Here's the flip side to it. I took the liberty, Kendrick Perkins, of hearkening back to what road LeBron James had to go through in order to win the chip. So we got the Detroit Pistons that they took out in 4 games. They weren't much back in 2016. You know that. Then after that, it was the Atlanta Hawks. Before Trae Young got to town, they weren't much to brag home about. We know that. Then you had the Toronto Raptors. Not with Kawhi Leonard. With DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry and those boys. And you know LeBron had their number for years. The road to prosperity, it wasn't that tough. Now, when you went against Golden State, that's different. Here's my issue. You know good and damn well, if Kendrick Perkins hadn't got suspended, you understand what I'm saying? In that Game 4, when LeBron dropped him on the floor and Kendrick Perkins kicked his feet up, but because he had kicked his feet up one too many times in the postseason, Adam Silver in the NBA decides to give LeBron James a damn stimulus package, suspending Draymond Green for that Game 5. Andrew Bogut and Iguodala got hurt in Game 5. They weren't any good for the rest of the series, and as a result, even when Draymond came back, they were handicapped. Golden State should have took them out in 5. Now we get to now, and this is why I completely disagree with you. You see what's going on in the Western Conference, my brother. You see what's going on. When LeBron James went to Miami, your role was Indiana. when you went to Cleveland with Kyrie and Kevin Love, your role was Golden State. Now that you're in L.A., you got Golden State as a problem. You saw the Clippers last night, and that was without Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. I got news for you. With Ty Lue, who you recognize and I recognize as arguably the best coach in basketball, you got him to go through. You got Phoenix, the reigning Western Conference champions. We can't sniff at them. I'm looking at you got Utah that you just finished blowing up. Jamal Murray is going to be back for Denver with the Joker and Michael Porter Jr., who's ascended. And I'm not going to just summarily dismiss Portland. I know Dallas looked awful last night. I'm certainly not going to count them as a title contender, but they make some, Luka makes some noise. You never know. When you look at all of these damn teams in the Western Conference and what you got to deal with during the regular season, just to position yourself appropriately for postseason action, that's where I get in terms of, all right, the road ain't going to be easier for LeBron.
Well, answer this for me, Stephen A.
Sure.
Answer this. Who has the best roster in the Western Conference? Out of all those teams you name, who has the best roster?
Right now, it's the Lakers.
Yeah, for sure, right? Six future Hall of Famers.
Okay.
Six future Hall of Famers.
Okay.
You're talking about LeBron James.
Okay.
And Anthony Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's two players that are arguably top 10 players in today's game.
Okay? I think both of them are easily top six. Top six, yes.
Okay, yeah, in the top 10. Because right. Anthony Davis go fall at six, so they put him in the top 10.
All right?
And then you have Russell Westbrook, which one could argue puts him in the top 15. Okay, and then you have Carmelo Anthony. You have Rajon Rondo. You have Dwight Howard. You have everything in the world. They have the best roster. They should be able to beat everybody. You know why? Because they're stacked, right? So one could argue that this might be the most talented roster that LeBron James has ever had. So that's why I'm going to go against your argument about how strong the Western Conference is, because this is the most help that he's had since he's been playing.
Well, it's relative, because the bottom line is he might have had less help when he was in Cleveland or when he was in Miami, but they were still the favorites. They still had the better talent. They were still the creme de la creme that everybody was shooting for. So what I'm saying to you is that I'm looking at the level of competition. You're looking at the roster he's playing with. I'm looking at the competition. When he was in Miami, it was Indiana with Paul George and the crew. When he was in Cleveland, it was Golden State because it wasn't really anybody in the East that could mess with them. Now that he's in the West, I gave you five teams. I gave you Utah. I gave you the Clippers. I gave you Phoenix. I gave you Denver. Okay? And I'm just saying to you, you can't ignore that reality. There are more teams there to give them a run for their money. He's always been, in terms of those situations in Miami, Cleveland, and this season, in those championship years, he's always been the team to beat in his respective conference. The difference is now you don't just have one team. You got multiple teams that got a chance to make some noise against them.
All right.
You know I'm going to get you back, though.
I know. I know you're going to get me back because I got you on this one. It's all right.
I wasn't talking about the argument. I'm talking about the Santa Claus. The Santa Claus. Yeah. Look, I'm going to get you back.
I think you look very handsome. You got the fresh shape up.
Thank
I like
you,
it.
We didn't say the brother looked bad.
I didn't think Santa
at all. The brother looked bad.
Don't worry about
it. He just looked like Santa Perk. That's all. We didn't say he looked bad.
Perk, I'm talking to you. So LeBron was obviously a part of the NBA 75th anniversary team, but some notable names left off. What was your biggest issue with that list, Perk?
Molly, first of all, let me say this.
Okay.
Doing the top 75 list is hard as hell, okay? Because I did one, and it is hard. It took me 6 hours. But I will say this. I am so disappointed at this list because Dwight Howard gets disrespected so much, it's ridiculous, right? We all think about the Dwight Howard, you know, when he played for Charlotte or when he played for Atlanta or towards the end of his career, now that he's being a role player playing for the Lakers. But we forget about that monster that was down there in Orlando. Three-time defensive player of the year, leading the league in blocks damn near every season. Four-time rebounding champ. I mean, the guy was averaging 20 and 10. It was one point. It was at one point when he was in Orlando, it was a discussion. We had a discussion about whether he was the best player in the NBA. And at that time, you had Kobe Bryant, you had LeBron James, you had multiple others, Dwayne Wade, and we were talking about, is Dwight Howard the best player? Now,
who?
Talking about the top 75 list, if I'm going to add Dwight Howard, who am I taking off?
Okay.
I just don't see how you put Bill Walton on that list before Dwight Howard. That is the most disturbing thing I've seen in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. The most disturbing thing I've seen in the last 6 months. Bill Walton on that list over Dwight Howard.
Okay, Perk.
I like that word, disturbing.
Put Perk up on the screen, please. Put Perk on the screen, please. Because I have to see him when I say this. You know, Perk, I'm going to forgive you, you know, because, see, even though you big Perk, Uncle Perk and all this stuff, you know, you are relatively younger than me. Let Stephen Naismith, Papa Smith, speak a few words of wisdom. Let me sprinkle this on you, okay? You might not have been born when Bill Walton was with the Portland Trail Blazers and you saw him take out Dr. J and McGinnis and all of these boys. Bill Walton was special. The only reason why Bill Walton slid in a lot of people's eyes is because he was no Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he was no Wilt Chamberlain, and he was no Bill Russell. That's different because that's an elite, the elite of elite. But Bill Walton was one of the most dominant big men presence ever. Okay? That's number one. Number two, Dwight Howard, love Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is a top 100 player in NBA history. Top 75 was hard, bro. Top 75. And I got to tell myself because I had a vote. And obviously, it took me. You took you 6 hours, Perk? I got to tell myself, bro, it took me 2 to 3 weeks. I was struggling. I kept going back and forth, back and forth. I was calling Hall of Famers. I was on the phone with them. I was going back and forth debating stuff like that because of who you got to leave off, okay? I left. It breaks my heart because I love these brothers, and I think they top 100. But I had to leave off Vince Carter. I had to leave off Tracy McGrady. I damn sure wasn't leaving off AI. I tell you that much. I wasn't leaving off D-Wade. And I'll tell you who else I wasn't leading off because this is my biggest beef with the team. I'm still looking because I want to make sure I'm not going blind because as I've gotten older, Kendrick Perkins, I have to confess, I have to wear reading glasses now. Kendrick Perkins, I got to wear reading glasses. I can't just read no more, bro. I got to put on the reading glasses. You know what I'm saying? I got to put on. I'm looking for it. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't see Klay Thompson on this list. Three-time champion Klay Thompson. One of the top five shooters in NBA history, Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, who's provided evidence over the last 2 years of what the Golden State Warriors are without. Klay Thompson, that Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, who was an elite defender while he was a top five shooter, en route to going to 5 straight NBA finals and winning 3 chips. That guy is not on this list. That is a much, much bigger snub than Dwight Howard. And I'll take it a step further. What really bothers me is that Klay Thompson has now been snubbed twice. Do you know that the media, I wouldn't blame Klay Thompson if he never spoke to the media again in life. This brother was due to get, you know where I'm going. This brother, Molly, was due to get the max extension of over $220 million. The media didn't make him a third team All-NBA. They picked Kemba Walker instead. No disrespect to Kemba, but they picked Kemba Walker instead. And Klay Thompson, the most he could get, according to the rules, CBA rules, the most he could get was $191 million or so. That media cost Klay Thompson $30 million dollars. If that man never spoke to the media again, I wouldn't blame him. Now, that I ain't talking about myself, because I damn sure voted for him. I damn sure voted for him. Tell you that much. Klay Thompson.
You see, Burr?
Molly, time to move on. Molly, you know what that is?
Carry on.
You know what that is?
No.
That's how they used to dribble back in the day when Stephen A. said I wasn't born. Some of the guys on the list when they was dribbling the ball, and he wanted to put them on the list with that right hand. But I want to see that. Yeah, no. That old man, please.
Don't miss me with that.
He tried to use the old man card.
Molly, let me tell you something about Kendrick Perkins. He's not admitting. Kendrick respects history, and Kendrick respects the old heads.
Yeah.
I ask you one favor, my brother. Call them. Ask them about Bill Walton and get back to me.
Okay.
Ask them.
Okay, let's leave it there. I respect my elders every day. First take.
Except me.
You're the only person. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Breaking news into First Take this morning. This according to our Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting this. Ben Simmons met with Sixers medical professionals and coach Doc Rivers today. He informed them he's not mentally ready to play. 'Tis expectations now, sources telling ESPN. He also talked to his teammates today. Simmons has to be evaluated now, and next steps will be based upon the determination of medical professionals. Again, sources telling ESPN. Kendrick Perkins back here with us. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Obviously, you guys have that game tonight, NBA Countdown, ESPN. We know the Nets are going to the Sixers. That's at 7:30 Eastern. What are your thoughts on this latest info?
You know, there are rare moments in this line of work, this business, where I wish I didn't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. But that's not what I signed up for. You have a subject to tackle, and you have to tackle it. So I'll do that, but I'll do so reluctantly. And the reason I'm doing so reluctantly is because, Molly and Perk, mental health is a very, very serious issue.
Yeah.
We know it. Mm-hmm. We get it. Our hearts go out to people who are suffering from it.
Absolutely.
We want to make sure we're not a part of that society who encouraged people to keep it underground. We want to encourage people to be honest and open about it, to be forthright and courageous in coming forward and really articulating what their concerns are so they can receive the help and assistance that they need. And I'm all for that. If it's legitimate. With most people who are not in the public eye, we usually get to take them at their word. I'm gonna do the same with Ben Simmons, but I think it's important to articulate the point. I don't have to. Neither does Kendrick Perkins, neither do you, neither do Sixers fans out there. Because let's analyze what has happened. Ben Simmons told Doc Rivers, Daryl Morey, and the Sixers organization, in July, he wanted out. He didn't say anything about mental health. He went over to Rich Paul's house, met with them. He said, this is what I want to do. He didn't like what was going on the previous years before Doc Rivers arrived. My belief is he doesn't like Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid clearly doesn't like him. They also said Ben Simmons will go and play anywhere but Philadelphia. They didn't say mental health then. Months have passed. We didn't hear anything about any mental health issues. Then on top of it all, you come into camp. After staying away, you came into camp. You get thrown out of practice, your second practice. You say anything about mental health? When you were chilling in Calabasas, you didn't say nothing about mental health. But now that we got a game tonight in Philly where it's the first time you're supposed to show up in front of those fans who you came across as blaming for how you performed in Atlanta in the playoffs for the first time, that's what we're hearing. I am not qualified to judge him negatively. I have to take him at his word. But I want to caution folks about something. This issue of mental health is incredibly, incredibly important. And there are millions of people in this country and in this world that are legitimately going through stuff and suffering because of it. All I'm imploring, Ben Simmons, if that truly is what's happening with you, my brother, I wish you nothing the best. Do what you got to do. Get yourself together so you can have the prosperous career you deserve because you a jump shot away from being LeBron James 2.0. You're that special. But if there's any illegitimacy to it, the only word that comes to my mind, Big Perk, is sadness. Because if anybody detects it to be illegitimate, that's going to give people an excuse to question those who have legitimate mental health issues. And I sincerely hope that that's not the case here, Big Perk. That's all I really have to say about that.
You know what? I'm going to say this, Stephen A. And I'm going to take you down from a former NBA player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't realize is this. People think, oh, they getting paid a lot of money. Oh, they are in the NBA. They got the fortune and the fame and blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Man, listen, the day-to-day things that an NBA player and professional athletes deal with is crazy. So when it comes down to this particular moment, when Ben Simmons said he's not mentally ready to play,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take it as he's saying that he's having mental health problems. I'm just going to take it as of right now he's in and I'm not a doctor, but maybe just in a slight stage of, I just need a little me time to decompress. Because this could be a bit much, right? You know, you're trying to hold out, you're not getting paid, you're losing money, your name is all over the media every single day. And here's the thing that I would tell Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George went through the same thing in the bubble. Paul George leaned heavily on Doc Rivers. And then Paul George threw Doc Rivers under the bus after Doc Rivers, you know, brought him in and talked with him and embraced him like a son. But that's another story. But if I'm Ben Simmons, I would actually, you know, go and try to find someone to talk to. And I would go and talk with Doc. Listen, Stephen A., you know Doc like I know Doc. Man, Doc is a great human being.
Yes, he is.
Doc is a guy that you could pull to the side and you could have a real conversation with. You could share real information with. Forget the basketball. Forget the player-coaching side of it. But y'all actually could talk man-to-man. Doc Rivers, I tell a lot of people, he raised me. Because when I got in the league, I was 18 years old. He taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to have a long career in this game. He taught me about routine. He taught me about getting certain people out of my life. He taught me about being a family man. He taught me all of these things. And all I would say is to Ben Simmons is, take some time. Decompress. Because it's sometimes that you gotta have those days that say, you know what? I ain't worried about nothing. Forget everything that's going on. I'm going to take the day off.
Here's the deal. Number one, we all know, and we all know how macho players can be. And I don't say that as a negative. I'm saying that handle your business. You know your success. Everybody deems you as a success. And showing you've got mental or emotional issues might be a sign of weakness, and they may not want to reveal that. We live in a society today where we encourage you to do otherwise because we understand what a debilitating effect that can cause and how that could have a detrimental effect on you. So I'm certainly not going to summarily dismiss the notion that Ben Simmons, you know, is going through some issues. I'm also, again, we didn't hear it publicly, but he may have told Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey and the 76ers organization he very well was going through this. But nobody said that. That's the point that I'm making. Having said all of that, I'm going to reiterate my point, and I'm not going to be hypocritical about this. Listen, Molly, I confessed months ago I was going through some issues after my mother died. You understand? I was never to say, if it wasn't for y'all, I don't know. I mean, you two, Perk, Molly, everybody, even Max, the whole crew, my producers here, Ryan Clark, all the guys that I work with, the people, my family and friends. If it wasn't for that, I don't know where I would have been because I was in a very, very dark place because I felt like a part of me had just died after I lost my mother, and I was going through that for a few years. I don't even think depression even brings it into perspective how awful I felt. So that's very real, and I understand that. All I'm emphasizing is that the night that you're supposed to play in front of that home crowd for the first time is when we heard about this. And you know people in Philadelphia are going to be suspicious about it. What I'm saying is this better be real. It better not be, okay, that's a way for
maybe
me to stay.
Maybe it's just too overwhelming
for him,
too toxic of a situation, and he might not be able to handle it. And I just want to say one thing, because obviously there's the Ben Simmons issue and then the mental health issue.
That's right.
It is a sign of strength to get help.
Absolutely.
It isn't strength to suffer silently in darkness. Strength is to get help or to confide in someone that can give you the right advice.
And I told you that. I went to therapy. I went to therapy.
And I applaud you for that, and I appreciate you sharing that testimony as well with the world. We'll have more on this in a bit, guys.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, coming into the season, we expected the AFC North to be a tight race, but what we didn't expect was the race would be between the Ravens and the Bengals. They meet this weekend. Joe Burrow's team is turning heads and headed to Baltimore, one game behind the Ravens for first. Ryan, talk to me about this. Are the Bengals the biggest surprise in the NFL? Are they the real deal?
Yeah, the Bengals are the real deal. I mean, when you look at what Joe Burrow has been able to do and you think about the parallels between him and Lamar Jackson, and people are going to look at these two dudes and say, okay, they don't play football the same. Joe Burrow can't run the football like Lamar Jackson. But when the Baltimore Ravens look at Lamar Jackson, they look at a football player. See, a lot of times when offenses are on the field, it's like 10 football players and a dude who throws the football or a guy who plays quarterback. That's not what you see when you see Joe Burrow or you see Lamar Jackson. And the belief that the Baltimore Ravens have every day, because they know they go out on the field with one of the most unique talents to ever play this game, but also one of its best leaders in Lamar Jackson, to me, that's the exact same way you feel if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. That's the reason that this team is 4-2. That's the reason that this team actually has an opportunity to be 5-1 if they can just make a kick late in the football game against the Green Bay Packers. To me, this is the game the Cincinnati Bengals have to win. Not just need to win, not just have an opportunity to win, they have to win it. I felt like that game was early on in the season against the Green Bay Packers. They are trying to prove that they belong. They are trying to prove that they are a playoff contender. If you don't start beating some of these teams that people don't expect you to beat, you never get that opportunity. And this is going to be a huge week for the Bengals to prove it, and I believe they have a chance.
Wait, before I get to you, Stephen A., though, RC, are they the biggest surprise, though, this season in the entire NFL?
You know,
what's the hesitation for? Say it with your chest. I mean, what's the hesitation for?
They are. You know what? They are the biggest surprise in the AFC. They are the biggest surprise in the AFC. But did anybody think the Dallas Cowboys would be where they were? Did anybody think that team would be 5-1?
Oh, my God. You know, this is what bothers me about Ryan Clark. First of all, let me run. See, Again, as I tell people all the time, that's why his face is like that, because he know I'm about to get him. I keep trying to tell y'all. I keep trying to tell y'all. I am brilliant because I know I'm not. I listen to those who are.
What is that,
and I learn from them.
You say that all the time.
I learn from them.
Right, I'm with you.
I learn from them.
Stop using that quote because you think you are brilliant.
No, I'm brilliant because I know I'm not. I just listen to those who are. I just listen to those who are.
I'm brilliant because I listen to those that are, and I am brilliant.
Ryan, do you know I could give you your schedule? See, I know when you're on SportsCenter. I know when you show up on NFL Live. I know when you're on Get Up. You know why?
I know your schedule.
Let me break it down. I know where Ryan is because when I want to learn football, I listen to my brother, my Libra brother. And then he comes on First Take and he just throws all of that stuff out of there. Because here's why. Did we not know the Dallas Cowboys were going to be here? Let's count the ways. We know the weapons they got on offense, right? We know the defense was trash last year and couldn't get worse, right? And then on top of it all, you got Jalen Hurts, then Sam Darnold without Christian McCaffrey, then Daniel Jones, all right, and then a rookie in Mac Jones. What the hell you mean we didn't know the Dallas Cowboys were going to be here? We damn right knew we were here. We damn well knew they were going to be here. I'll just stop it, Molly. Just stop it, man.
This is Leprechaun. Green looks lovely.
The point that I'm trying to make to you is this, Ryan. The biggest surprise is the Arizona Cardinals. Who the hell thought they'd be undefeated after 6 weeks? Who the hell thought they'd be the only undefeated team in the National Football League? And coming out of the NFC West, going to be blowing out the Rams, beating San Francisco, and then blowing out the Cleveland Cavaliers over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Who thought that? Come on, Brian.
Excuse me, Ryan. Have you ever been in an argument with, real quick, have you ever been in an argument with someone and, you know, all of a sudden they start to get real loud and they walk away and they change the subject?
And they change the subject. Like, what subject did that change?
And they sound real guilty.
So Arizona Cardinals are the biggest surprise. How's that changing the subject?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you've ever experienced
that,
Ryan.
You know what, Ryan, she's just acting this way because she hasn't gotten over me and Marcus laughing at her about UConn when she decided to go to UConn for Duke. She hasn't forgiven us for that at all. That's all this is about. That's all this is about.
Getting real loud, getting nervous.
Okay, what I say, Molly? I love the fact that you're a fan of your team. But Stephen A., the fact that the Arizona Cardinals are here means you forgot how they started last season. Means you forgot they added A.J. Green on the outside. Means you forgot they added J.J. Watt in the inside.
6-0.
The Dallas Cowboys are 5-1. The team you always talk about being an accident waiting to happen. A team that has a quarterback coming off of a catastrophic ankle injury.
NFC
a team
East
that's defense.
And win 12 games.
You can win the
I picked them to win 12 games this year. Okay. I picked them to win 12 games this year. And by the way,
so
I'm
nice
not sweating at all. It's Molly got me a facial, and I'm just glowing. I'm just glowing. That's what this is, right? She got me a facial, and I'm just glowing.
You know,
and then I'm not sweating at all.
Ryan, I was like, is J-Lo on the show today? I mean, I don't even know what is happening
glowing
right now.
She got me a facial, man, and the
younger,
facial was slipping,
glowing.
And I'm
just
glowing right now. I'm glowing.
You got all the dead skin on.
Yo, you need to come. You need to get Molly to get you the facial, bro. It's going to do you wonders, man. You know what I'm saying? You see how good I look?
Man, you're so bougie now.
Roll the bubble.
You didn't get that growing up in New York City.
You are a beautiful mind. Just roll the bubble, please, everyone. Oh, my goodness.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stephen A., we've been talking a lot about the Philly Nets, but tonight on ESPN, the Lakers host the Suns as well, both looking for their first win. And it's time for some GOAT talk with that being said. Earlier this week, Shaquille O'Neal had some interesting comments about LeBron for the LA Times, saying this: I know what he's doing. Championships are great, but he's trying to pass up Kareem. That's what he's doing. I know exactly what he's doing, because now if you pass Kareem up, there ain't no talk about who the best player ever is. He's got 4 rings, and he becomes the highest scorer in the NBA history. He's the best ever, and there's nothing you can say. Okay, Stephen A.
So Shaq says that if LeBron becomes the highest scorer in NBA history, he will be the GOAT. And currently, LeBron needs just under 3,000 points to pass Kareem. So, Stephen A., can LeBron go down as the greatest of all time?
No, not to me. And let me be very clear in addressing Shaquille O'Neal, my little big brother, who I love dearly. That brother knows when he's saying something ignorant, and he just did. And he did it on purpose. I'm going to get him here. And let me tell you why. Because based on what Shaquille O'Neal's description of it, Kendrick Perkins, is, I guess we can say Karl Malone's the best, is the second best player of all time. Karl Malone retired as the second greatest player in NBA history. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we doing now? That's what we doing? It's about points now? That's what we doing? No. It's not just about points. It's about the chip. And it's not just about the chip. It's about the road you travel to get to that point. And where people are missing my point, and I know Kendrick Perkins disagrees, but that's okay. You know, because I understand how phenomenal LeBron is. He's on the Mount Rushmore. I got him number two all time in history. I mean, stop the presses, Kendrick Perkins. I don't know if you know this, but this is an incredible insult to the people who love LeBron James. How dare me say he's number two all time? I mean, I just sliced his career. I've just discredited him. I said, yo, you are scrub. You're horrible. I got him number two in the history of basketball since it started being played in 1946 and became the NBA in 1950. I got him number two all time. And you would think I've crucified this man, but so be it. Here's the deal. I saw what Jordan had to endure to get to where he was and to stay there. And the NBA game was very different back then, significantly rougher, and the road to prosperity was very, very much harder, okay? And that is what stands out in my mind, to be 6-0 in NBA Finals, all right? Six NBA Finals MVPs, unblemished in championship round competition. Would have won 8-0 if he hadn't retired after his father passed away. In championship rounds, completely owned the entire decade without a blemish. I'm telling you right now, to me, because of that, and because of what I saw from the Bad Boy Pistons, because of what I saw from the Knicks, because of the Cleveland Cavaliers with Mark Price, Larry Nance, Matt Doherty, and those boys, because of all of those teams, the Phoenix Suns, Sean Kemp and Gary Payton in Seattle, Barkley and Marley and Kevin Johnson in Phoenix, and all of that other stuff, what I saw is what I saw. And to me, LeBron can't eclipse that. I'm going to always have MJ number one if the question is whether or not LeBron James or him is number one. It's going to always be MJ for me.
You know why? You know why? Because as you get older, like my grandmother, right, 86 years old, and I go to her house, and, you know, sometimes she does things that aggravate me. And I have to remind myself that the old saying, old people are what, Stephen A.? They're stuck in their ways.
Stuck in their ways.
This, okay? Yes, and you know what? And you and I have been having great conversation on here, and we're going to continue to have great conversation today because I'm not going to let you raise my blood pressure up. I'm not about to sit up here and dive into, you know, how much pressure LeBron James had out of probably the most pressure out of any athlete in sports history. I'm not about to go into that today. I'm not about to go into how you just talked about Shaquille O'Neal saying the points and passing up Kareem and left out the fact that he said that he had four titles when you tried to make your Karl Malone comparison. I'm not going to even point that out today. But this is what I will
Kareem
tell
has,
you.
Kareem okay? has six titles, but go ahead.
No. I'm saying you said that's what we're doing now when you were talking about Karl Malone.
Got it.
But Shaq said that he has four titles. I think Shaq is telling the truth. And look, here's the problem. This is the problem that I have when you come on here talking about these different eras, okay? I was in that era. I may look way older than LeBron James, and I understand I didn't gain 70 pounds of retirement weight, and I get all that, right? But we came into the NBA at the same time, where he had to go against a Paul Pierce, a Joe Johnson, a Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. The list goes on. And I don't want to come on here and discredit Thunder Dan, But do you know what LeBron James would have did to Thunder Dan
without
or Jeff Hornacek?
Without question.
Or any of those guys. And I don't even want to bring up my guy Kevin Johnson because he just opened up this fabulous restaurant right next door to the ESPN studio, that soul food spot that I went to
last couple of days.
Right on the corner. I eat there every day. The oxtails are off the chain, by the way. Okay. So listen, here's the thing.
So Shaq, I'm sorry.
Stephen A., we're starting to see multiple players come out and say this. You know, Shaq done said it. We hear the great Magic Johnson starting to lean that way. We hear other former players starting to say the same thing. Sooner or later, you're going to get on board with us, and you're going to realize that LeBron James is just different. No disrespect to Michael Jordan. Because I got Michael Jordan number 2 on my list. And by the way, every time you see me, I don't have LeBron on my feet. I have the Jays on my feet. I love Michael Jordan. But at the end of the day, LeBron James is just something different.
Yeah,
whatever.
We don't have time to fully deal with this because Molly's deal is coming up next. I got to get people paid. Big Perk, it is so good to see you. You haven't been on the show lately. We need you on
more. You too,
more.
Molly.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Howdy.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. It is time to get you wins and get you paid with the help of Ryan Clark and Stephen A. Smith. I changed up the music. Do you like it, guys? It's time for Molly's Deal. Stephen A., you're up first. We start with you. Will Tom Brady throw for 3 or more touchdowns?
No, I don't see that happening this week. I'm sorry.
Stephen A., he's averaging 3 touchdowns.
I respect the Bears defense. I'm not saying they won't score points. I'm saying he won't throw 3 TDs against the Bears defense. I don't think so. I think the Bears defense will hold up in that.
All right, I disagree with you on that one. RC, over to you, sir. Who will throw for more passing yards in the Jets-Pats game, Mac or Zach?
Oh, it's Mac Jones. This is even a question. Yeah. Better team, better surrounding cast, better coaching. Mac Jones is the answer to that.
Absolutely. Mac Daddy, more yards, period. Mr. A. Smith, back to you. Will Mahomes have 3 or more pass TDs on Sunday?
Yes, I believe so. I don't trust Vrabel's defense right now against the pass. They're like 24th. And Patrick Mahomes is going to light him up because he knows he has to, because he knows the defense ain't going to stop Derrick Henry.
Easy money. RC, question number 4. Will Lamar Jackson's combined rushing and passing yards surpass 300 total?
It absolutely will, Molly. Lamar's playing at a level, to me, that was higher than his MVP level in both running the football, passing the football, and then you add his leadership to that. This dude's been balling all year, 300-plus.
Absolutely, and he's done that in 5 or 6 games this season. Stephen A., we end on you. I think this one's a tough one. Will Ja'Marr Chase score a touchdown Sunday versus the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh, that ain't tough. Ooh. This brother's special. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I love Ja'Marr Chase. I love what I'm seeing from this brother, and I applaud the Bengals for drafting him because obviously him and Burrow played together at LSU, so they paid attention to the chemistry and the cohesiveness, and they have proven that to be the correct way to go. I love me some Ja'Marr Chase. I love what I'm seeing.
All right, Molly's Deal, again, here to get you paid. Girl trying to help you out. RC, I want to come back to you on that subject, though. Are Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase one of the top duos in the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely, already. Listen, Ja'Marr Chase is in the top 5 in receiving yardage. Ja'Marr Chase has 5 touchdowns already through 6 games this season. And what's crazy to me is I watched him run by people here in high school. I coached him in 7-on-7. I saw it every summer. I also saw it at LSU. I didn't think it would be this easy for him in the league. He had some drops in the preseason, and people were talking about him not being able to adjust to the football. He just hadn't played football in over a year. Ja'Marr Chase has run by every single team he's played, and he's even done it in huge moments of the game.
Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are already one of the top duos in the league, and they're only going to get better.
All right, yeah, that's real easy. I mean, why don't you tell me the sky is blue, bro? Why don't you tell me that you got on a nice shirt, okay? Why don't you tell me your hair is trimmed and all
that? I answered the question.
Because you say, listen. One of?
I answered the question they asked me,
bro. You answered the question. Well, damn it, you usually don't stop there. You usually elaborate more extensively. So we know, I mean, damn. That that's an easy one. They're one of. I mean, where would you rank them? Duo-wise, where are they in your mind, Ryan Clark?
Right now, they're for sure a top 10 duo with an opportunity to be a top 5 duo. And I think, and I'm not even giving them 10, but because you're just trying to throw this at me so you can actually win the argument, I can't give you the exact number. What I do know is Ja'Marr Chase is number 5 in yardage, right? Mm-hmm. What I do know is he has 5 touchdowns. What I do know is outside of what, Kyler Murray, Devontae Adams, the Tyreek Hill.
I got something for RC.
Stephon Diggs. They're number 6.
RC's going to be in person with us. We're going to be at FAMU next Friday.
He better
show.
Be ready. And his suit game better be ready,
wait,
too.
Wait, no. That's where I'm going. Kevin Hart's going to be there. Will Packer, you, me, RC. Where's Stephen A. going to rank amongst best dress on Friday?
Oh, absolutely. The last one, and it won't even be close.
Oh, my God.
Unless Kevin Hart comes to the show he's trying to be a comedian and play jokes and doesn't care what he wears.
Please.
Stephen A's been getting killed on this show every single day.
Watch out. Like, I ain't got nothing to prove.
Last place,
all right.
I thought you were supposed to represent HBCUs.
By the way,
I thought you were the ambassador.
I am going to represent. Make no mistake. And I'm going to show up, and my outfit's going to be fly. By the way.
Bro, you're gonna get Rodgers, so Devontae by Adams, a dude that went to a PWI Dak, Power 5 school. It's not even gonna be close.
Please.
I think I gotta go shopping this weekend to get ready
with his cowboy shirt on.
Ryan, great to see you, Stephen A. Great to see you too, buddy.
Bye, Leprechaun. Bye, Mrs. Leprechaun.